Good morning again, church. Take out your Bibles if you would. By the way, thank you, praise team. Rosemary kind of quarterbacking things, and just a great job by all the members of our praise team. Cindy's away this week, and I'm just getting a little chance to relax, which is good. But you guys, just pray to God for you guys in leading us to worship this morning. If you're wondering this morning, is something going on with the lights? Said, am I having a stroke? You're not. It is the light. There's a little problem with our light bar. Okay. And I'm having a little problem with my mic, it sounds like, as well. So, guys, if you could just adjust that. I'm on live 11, if that would be helpful for you. So we're going to just take a moment, and we're going to pray, and we're going to ask God just to speak to our hearts through his word and to really just challenge us in our thinking as we seek to be the church and to grow. So let's just pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, dear God, for the day that you've given us. I just want to pray, Lord, that you would just take away the distractions, Lord, that, Father, just seem to creep in at this time of a Sunday. And I ask, Lord, that you would just work in us, Lord, in a way, Lord, that only you can. Father, your word is sharp. It's powerful. It's able to divide asunder even our thoughts and our motivations and our hearts. And I pray, Lord, today that you would just really speak to our hearts, Lord, and that you would encourage us, Father, with your power, and that you would cause us, Lord, to really step out and serve you as the body, Father, in that power. Lord, I just ask that you'd work, bring clarity, Lord, to the message. And I pray, Lord, that you would just take me out of the way that they might really hear you and your spirit. And I just pray these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you guys take out your bulletin, too, we'll put some notes on that for you as well this morning. But today, we just reflecting back a little bit on our summer. You know, it's kind of summertime, so people are in and out, and there's things going on at church. And we've gone through the pandemic, and that kind of changed some things around a little bit as far as church goes. But this year, we had a great vacation Bible school. We had about 75 children in VBS this year, which we just praise God for. We had a ton of workers, almost a one-to-one ratio at many, many nights. And I just praise God. You know, when God does something good in the church, he does it through his people and through their gifted abilities. And God was definitely doing some great things in our VBS. And you can just see some of the pictures. We had our closing barbecue, probably the greatest crowd that we had since March of 2020, you know, since the pandemic really began. And God really worked and touched the hearts of the people. And you see, even in the artwork, that took gifted people to put that together. And God really worked in all the various things. So we are just praising him for that. And just praising God for you and for your desire to serve him, you know, humbly and in all kinds of ways. So I want to just move on down this morning. And I just want to remind you something this morning. I think that's just so important. And we've been thinking about this, and this is one of our verses. We're trying to memorize just a handful of verses out of the book of Ephesians as we go through it. But I want y'all to take this verse to heart, right? It says, now to him who is able to do what? Exceedingly abundantly above what we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. And, you know, as we go through stuff, as we do things, as we serve as the body of Christ, remember God is the one who's able to do above what we could ask or think or what we can even imagine, God's able to do greater. And that helps us. That gives us that strength, that perseverance, that power to go through things even when it's difficult. We have a new verse this week. We'll just introduce it this morning briefly to think about. And it comes from our passage today, thinking about spiritual gifts. And it says, he gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And I want to throw this out. We're going to dig into this morning. But I want you to notice one thing. You know, the job of some of these gifted people is to do what? Equip. The job of the church is to do what? To do ministry. Like, we are this great big team of people that are gifted in various ways to serve God and to minister to others, to build the church.
and to take Jesus to the world. And that's what God wants us to think about. So we'll come back to that in a second. So, you know, as we know, we've been studying this series called The Church, God's Gift of Grace. And God, you know, gave us our salvation as just an amazing act of grace. And he's given us his grace again. And what I want us all to kind of understand as we dig in this morning, and with the title of today's message is God's Gift of Grace Again, is, you know, God saved you. And then now God gives you these spiritual abilities to go out and to be a force for change, for good, to build up the church of Jesus Christ. And that's who God wants us to be. We're going to break that down just a little bit in a minute here this morning. I want you to get a hold of the eternal truth this morning. And the idea of the eternal truth is, you know, if someone says, well, what was the message all about? What's my takeaway? What do I want to take away today? Here it is, right? Spiritual gifts are God's grace given again to build the church and serve the world. That's what they are. And everybody look up for a second. Every single one of us has at least one. Nobody missed the line in heaven, right? When you got saved, God gave you at least one. Most of you probably have more than one. And God wants us to use them. And the thought I want to kind of, I always kind of give us sort of an interpretive statement underneath this. Kind of like, you guys know when you go to the election booth, yeah, and there's always those statements that you got to vote for, then underneath of that, they call it the interpretive statement where they kind of break it down and make it understandable. This is what God wants us to do. Believers ought to be living sacrifices, discovering, developing, and dedicating their God-given abilities to build the church and serve the world. And we're going to get to that. I'm going to explain that a little bit more in a second. There's a little issue going on. You don't need to see me. Just hopefully you can see the slides. So here we're going to dig in first, and I want to kind of just understand how we got here, if you would. I praise God for Pastor Ansu preaching yesterday, or last week when I was gone, and just I heard it was a great service, and people were worshiping God and just thinking about this issue. But the foundation of what we want to talk about this morning is this idea of, you know, walking worthy in Christ, walking worthy of Christ in fruitfulness and unity. And I want to just kind of take that verse and break it down this morning just real quick. And I know Pastor Ansley preached on this at length last week. Notice how it began last week. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, Paul is a prisoner. He writes this message and he says, I beg you or I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. And then he breaks into how does that look? With all lowliness, gentleness, long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And that's sort of our marching orders as the body, as the church of Jesus Christ. And as we stop and we think about the kind of introducing where we're going today with spiritual gifts, we might ask the question, well, how is it connected? How does that really work? Why is this passage here? And the aim that Paul has as he opens up chapter 4 of Ephesians is he wants us to walk worthy. You might say, what does it mean to walk worthy of Christ? And the idea is he wants us in our human flesh to match the excellence of Christ's calling and God's choice. And just stop and think about that for a second. The Lord Jesus Christ, he literally came to earth to die for us. He changed hearts that were rock hard, that could not be changed without God's supernatural intervention. And he called us to be the body of Christ, to do something to change the world and to bring people into the kingdom of God. And he wants our walk, and everybody, last week, if you guys were, who was here last week? Raise your hand. I was on Zoom. I couldn't see you guys. I just want to make sure somebody was here. All right, you guys were here. Well, here's the question. What's it mean to walk? When Paul used the word walk, what's he mean by that? How do we live? You know, how do we live day to day, moment by moment on this earth, right? And the idea is he wants us to live our lives in such a way that it matches the excellence of what Christ did, what he's called us to do. And then I'll throw out the description of that. You know, and again, pick up these words. And by the way, these are fruit of the Spirit. So when we got saved, not only did God change us to fit us for eternity and give us eternal life, but he gave us the fruit of the Spirit. And remember, it comes from Galatians chapter 5, right? Love, joy, peace, kindness, gentleness, goodness, patience, self-control. You know, all those things. And boy, I don't know about you, don't we need those things? You know, I was away. Some people say, how was your vacation? It was more of a working vacation. Praise God for his grace and his fruit. Because sometimes I just wanted to scream. You know what? Sinfulness doesn't go on vacation. Problems don't go on vacation, right? We need that stuff all the time. And praise God. Look what he says. As the church, as he calls us, our walk ought to be, but to be characterized by our lowliness, you know, our humility, our gentleness. You know, we struggle with that. I know I do. Our long suffering, how we bear with the issues that other people have. I know about you, but I could grow a lot more in that. How about you? Anybody get your goat sometimes? You know, or they get all the other animals in your barn too, right? You know, we need to be able to be long-suffering and just bear with one another in love. And then he says this word, endeavoring to keep the spirit, the unity of the spirit and the bond of peace. And I know Ansu said this last week. The idea there is we do everything possible to maintain unity in the body. And everybody look up. You know, the world, the devil, and the flesh. You know what it's trying to do to the body of Christ? Just rip it apart. And what we're trying to do in the body of Christ and what the Spirit of God is doing in us is he's trying to maintain that we stay together and we fight with every ounce of energy and everything that we have to maintain our unity of who we are in Christ, because that's more important than anything else. And that's kind of the foundation of what he said. So last week when we kind of looked at that in big picture, it was all about us being part of this greater thing called the body of Christ. You know, the emphasis was all about, you know, those things about being in unity. And the segue today, what we want to think about today, when Paul begins to talk about these things called spiritual gifts, which, by the way, are controversial and people go all over the board with them, we're going to kind of lay them out. We're going to simplify what that means and how God wants to use them in us. But the transition I want you guys to get hold of today was, last week the emphasis was on many as one. Today the emphasis is on the unique impact and responsibility that each one of us has. Everybody look up for a second. I know it's a little dark where you're sitting. Hey, you know what's kind of interesting? You know, a lot of times we don't want more responsibility. But as brothers and sisters in Christ, as children of God, we have a responsibility to do what God has called us to do. And I'll throw this out. That sounds scary, but when God calls you to do something, God is going to empower you. God's going to give you what you need to pull it off. Isn't that true? Can I get an amen to that? Is that true? Yeah. Doesn't God do that? I mean, how many of us, you know, God's called us to step up and do things for him that we go, God, I don't know how to do that. Have you ever been there? You know, God, I don't have the energy for that. God, you must be crazy. You should have called someone else. You know, we look at the scriptures, and most men of God, they said, God, you got the wrong guy, or you got the wrong woman. But God empowers us, and God gives us the tools that we need to do what he wants us to do. And I want to kind of segue that today. This is the picture of how God grows the church through gifted people and through all the gifts of the Spirit that he gives to the body so they can build each other up. And you know, I want you guys to write this word down on your bulletin. Write this word down. Is that we have a responsibility to God and to the body. And I want to throw this out. In a church like ours, where we're kind of small, we don't have a staff of 20 pastors, we don't have all that stuff. You know what? God has given us a church where there is tremendous opportunity to exercise our gifts. We need everybody. It's all hands on deck. It's everybody on the team. If you're on the bench, don't worry, you're going to get in the game. We need everybody on board. And God's in our church in a unique way. That's who we are at First Baptist of Willingboro. So let's just jump in for a second. Let's talk about God's giving. And we'll look at the passage, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 to 10. And Psalm 68, by the way, is just a passage that's quoted here. But notice what it says. Let's just dig right in. And by the way, the yellow kind of gives you a little bit of emphasis. The white is just all the text. But notice how Paul starts out. He says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gifts. So I just want to stop for a second. I want to ask you guys a question. What jumps off the page at you in that first sentence? Grace, yeah. This whole book is about grace. But you know what jumps off the page to me? It says, to each one of us. And you know what that means? Nobody's left out. Nobody didn't get the gift. Nobody is unable to serve God in some way. Nobody is powerless. Nobody can say, I can't do it. Because it says, to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. You know, and that's just a huge thing. It says, therefore, and by the way, this is a quotation of Psalm 68. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive, and he gave gifts to men. Now this, he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into lower parts of the earth? He who also descended is the one who ascended far above the heavens that he might fill all things. And the picture here is the one who gave gifts is the Lord Jesus Christ who descended to earth in the lowliest state. And we read about that. Jesus took on the form of a bondservant, it says in Philippians. He descended down, and then God lifted him up to be Lord of lords and King of kings. And he's the one who gives the gifts to us. In the Bible, we use that word, bestows. The idea of God gives us these gifts. So that kind of jumps right out at us. And I want to just lay out a couple of thoughts as we think about that passage. God's giving by the risen Christ through the Holy Spirit. And a couple points I want you to kind of get a hold of as you think about this. And, you know, the key word is that he says he gives them to everybody. But notice, and that's kind of the first point, the giving of God's gifts and these spiritual gifts. And let me just have you write down this word. What are spiritual gifts? What are they? A lot of confusion about those. By the way, there's four passages of scripture, and you might want to even jot this down. You'll see it in a minute. Today, there's four passages that really describe what spiritual gifts are. And it's kind of a quick way to remember it. Just think of 12 and 4. So the passages are Romans chapter 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Ephesians chapter 4, and 1 Peter chapter 4. We'll give you a chance at the end with a number of slides. We'll talk that through so we understand. But spiritual gifts is a big deal. They're, and here's what they are. They are divine, in other words, they come from God, abilities to build up the church and to serve the world. So they're abilities that God has given you that you did not have. You may have had some skills or some, you know, innate abilities that you had before you got saved, but God gives you these at the moment of your salvation so that you become an active builder of his church and his kingdom. They're divine abilities to build the church and serve the world. So a couple things that we want to kind of understand. Number one, they're universal. And I said, it is universal. It is given to each and every believer. And I want to throw this out. Everybody look up. How many times in church, you know, and by the way, if you take out your bulletin for a second. And I appreciate, by the way, Carol works hard at this thing, you know, each and every week. And, you know, Jonathan and Cindy and everybody just putting this all together and all the other ministry leaders. But you see in our bulletin, right, we have this, these needs. We kind of call it like our one ads, right? You know, the path forward ministry opportunities. And a big thing that you'll hear people say is, oh, I could never do that. I don't have that ability. I'm not sure how I would ever pull that off. And what I want to say to you is, you know what? You may not have that ability, but God's given you special divine unction and ability to do what he's called you to do. And if you step out in faith, he'll be right at your back. And he'll get you through. So it's universal. It's given to each and every believer. Here's the next thing. You might say this, you know, when you're called to do a ministry, and by the way, anyone ever taken part in a ministry and been a little bit afraid? Raise your hand. And maybe you're the leader, and like you're going, oh no, you know, like you're just not sure what's going to happen. You know, I've had the privilege to travel and do mission trips and do different things, And sometimes, man, it's scary. It's scary. Well, you're not sure what's going to happen. You can't control everything. And by the way, I'm a control freak. Who else is with me? Right? And it's scary. Like, oh, what am I going to do? And a lot of times, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what I'm going to do. But God does, and God's given me that divine ability, and he's given me his spirit to discern how to use the gifts he's given me and others to pull off what we got to pull off. And we could go through all the ministries at church, the youth ministry. You know, I've heard that for years. People say, those kids are scary. It's a good thing Jonathan is scarier. No, but he's not. You know, think about that, right? Like, you know, hey, do you want to work with high school students? And people, like, as we get older, we go, oh, they're scary. You know, they wear hoodies, and they're big, and they don't know what they're going to do. They don't talk like me. They don't, you know, it's okay. God will take care of you. Got to be with you in that, right? So the gifts that God gives us, they are sufficient. You see, in the text, it says, he gives us these gifts to the measure of Christ's gift. The gifts that God's given you to do ministry, they're going to be enough. You're not going to be lacking. You might be praying real hard, but you're not going to be lacking. God's going to be right there with your giftedness and with his spirit and his power. They're sufficient. And, you know, just the last point there, it's God-given. It's through the Holy Spirit. And I want you to get these thoughts down. So get this in your mind. The gifts that God gave you are planned. They're purposeful. And they're perfect for you and the ministry that God has called you to have. Does that make sense? You might say, how do I know that? I want to share this next passage with you. It comes from the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Remember the passages, right? Romans 12, 1 Corinthians 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Peter 4. Well, 1 Corinthians says, it says, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. In other words, there's all kinds of spiritual gifts, but they all came through the Holy Spirit of God. There are differences of ministries, absolutely. But there's one Lord and one God, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there are diversities of activities, for sure. But it's the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one, and look what it says, for the profit of all. The manifestation is, in other words, people are going to see your giftedness. They're going to see that you are really good as an organizer. They're going to see that you really teach the Bible in a way that people go, hey, I can understand that. They're going to understand your giftedness. They're going to see your servant's heart, and they're going to go, wow, look at that guy. Look how he serves or how she serves. The manifestation is given for the profit of all. And then I want to just continue. Notice he says this. He says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Wow, that's pretty cool. He must have willed the lights to come on. Here's the point I want you to get a hold of. Look at that last line. He distributes individually to each one as he wills. And what's our thing say here? It says, God gives these gifts out. Why or how? The gifts are what? They're perfect for our situation and for the ministry that God's called us. They're planned. Like the Holy Spirit didn't just reach into the bucket of gifts and go, you know, here, randomly. There's a plan that God has to accomplish his purpose right here at Willingboro or wherever God takes us. They're purposeful. He equips you to do a task that he's called you to do, specifically. And again, I'll throw this out. Isn't it good that God knows the end from the beginning? You know, isn't it good that God, you know, God, we use that word, God's omniscient. He's all-knowing. He's all-present. He sees everything, and he's all-powerful. So he gives us exactly what we need. And we can kind of rest in that and be comfortable in that. and I'll throw this out. Doesn't mean we just kind of become, you know, casual or don't worry about anything. We don't prepare. We don't do that stuff. Doesn't mean that at all. It just means that I can have confidence that, you know what, God's going to give me exactly what I need for the ministry that he's called me to have. And he's called all of us to have a ministry to the body of Christ. So we're going to, I want to just go backwards, give you a chance to jot this down, and then we'll go forward. So remember, think about our gifts. The God's giving, right? It's universal, it's sufficient, and it's done through the Holy Spirit. It's planned, it's purposeful, and it's perfect. It's exactly what we need. Now, throw this out. You know what? God birthed the church through Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit, and God equips the church through Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit for whatever we need. And that's huge. So we're going to move ahead. So point number three, right? Spiritual gifts, God's gifts. Let's talk about God's gifts for a second. So let's look at that. And we're going to dive right back into the book of Ephesians. And Sam, if you would just advance me, because I seem to be stuck. There it goes. So let's take a look at God's gifts. And by the way, you're going to see this slide about five times. So this is sort of the thing that you want to take away today with spiritual abilities for growth. That's God's gift. And then we talked about their divine enablements, divine abilities. And the purpose that God gives them is that the church would grow. So here they are real fast. So I'm taking all these four passages. We're going to start with Ephesians and understand how spiritual gifts work. So the first thing you want to get a hold of is the teachings that God gives us. The first one, God talks about people and purpose. The second thing he talks about is our attitudes and the aim of the gifts. The third thing in 1 Corinthians, he talks about this idea of unity, yet the diversity of the gifts and how they function. And the final thing he gives us is a perspective on life. And then he lays out for us clearly, this is our pursuit in using these gifts. And we're going to just kind of dig into those in a minute. So if you didn't get all that, you're going to see it a bunch more times. So just watch the screen. But let's take a look at what happens first. We'll look at the first the Ephesians passage. And look what it says. He says, for he himself, and by the way, that means Christ, gave some to be what? Apostles, prophets, evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. By the way, pastors and teachers are kind of joined together as one thing. And by the way, I want you guys to notice this for a second. Notice, and what we're trying to get a hold of in this context as we think about this idea is he's talking about people and he's talking about purpose. So when I look at the people in this equation, God gives some people to be equippers of the body of Christ. And he says there's apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. So the first thing we want to think about with gifts are gifted people. And I want you to understand, and by the way, this does not elevate these people above the rest of the body, but it gives them very specific jobs. So apostles, you know, and the apostles in a technical sense, right, there are no apostles today. Some people take that title as a sent one of God, and that's okay. But the idea of apostles, the apostles were the ones that the church is built on as a foundation when it comes to writing down and declaring the doctrine of Jesus Christ. So the apostles are foundational to the church. Prophets, what are prophets? Prophets do two things, right? They foretell the future, and in the age of the church, that was something that was people were prophesying what was going to take place. Think about John in the book of Revelation and other prophecies that were given in the New Testament as well. So there's prophets. They either foretell the future or they forthtell. In other words, they take the word of God and things that have already been given and they break it down in a way that the body of Christ can understand it and use it. The third gifted person are evangelists. And we know what that means, right? Evangelists and it takes the word that's called euangelion is the Greek word. It has the idea of this good news. But these people are gifted at taking the gospel of Jesus Christ and walking up to a person and being able to explain to them their need for Christ and helping them to understand it and receive him as their savior, evangelist. And then finally, pastors and teachers. And that's me, Pastor Ansu, others. The idea that is we are shepherds. We have to care for the flock. Caring for the flock involves teaching the flock, comforting the flock, encouraging the flock, disciplining the flock, walking with the flock through the challenges that life throws. And that's our job. So what I say, if you look at all those teachers and all those gifted people that God gives, notice what their job is. So there's gifted people, and there's a purpose, and it says what? What's the purpose? What's it say?
Edifying.
For equipping the saints for the work of ministry. So our job is to train, coach, draw people out, get them engaged, get them involved, get them learning, get them growing, keep them encouraged, move them in the direction that we prayerfully see God moving them in. And the idea is equipping people to be an active, growing church. Now, notice the next thing. Look what it says. So our job is to equip the saints, and what's it say for what? For the work of ministry. So the whole church, right, our responsibility is to do what? Serve, minister. And we're to be equipped to do that job. And by the way, notice it says, and Paul writes these very long sentences, so gifted people equip the saints to do the work of ministry that what? That they might edify the body of Christ. And I want to throw this out. Edifying the body of Christ means to build it up. Everybody look up. You know, this past year, we had a lot of tearing down. And it's happened in all kind of ways, right? Through the pandemic, through politics, through, all these different things. Prejudice, right, has just torn the church apart in many places. And by the way, it's still happening all over the world. It's not just an American thing. You know, it's a satanic thing. It comes from the pit of hell. And Satan's job is always to divide and then subtract from the body. And that's kind of been going on. But the job of believers is to be the glue that holds the body together, to build the body up. And by the way, notice Paul gives us a description. He says, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man or woman. And by the way, when he says perfect, what's that mean?
Mature.
It means mature. In fact, he actually says this in the next sentence as a contrast, that we should no longer be children. And by the way, there's multiple Greek words for children. This means like real little kids. You know, not 17-year-olds, not 16-year-olds. This means like little kids who are just all over the place. And he says, I want you gifted people to equip the body of Christ that they can do ministry and that they can build the body up so that they become mature and that they have knowledge and they have unity. And I want to throw this out. Everybody look up. Is the Church of Jesus Christ in America today, is it mature in that way? I don't think so. I mean, if I look at what I see out there, I'm not so sure. And I'll throw that out. I don't mean that as a cut or a dig or anything like that, but it just says, you know what? There's work to be done. There's work to be done. We can be better as the church. Like, just imagine. And by the way, look at the standard that he says. He says, edifying the body of Christ till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. Look what it says. To the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So here's the interesting question. Would the Lord Jesus Christ be satisfied with us as a church 100% now? No, of course not, right? We got ways to go. I don't know about you. I say personally, I got ways to go. How about you? You know, there's things that come out of my mouth or I think in my mind and, you know, like, where in the world did that come from? You know, it would totally be against what God would want. So I know I got ways to go. So the body is supposed to be building itself up. You're equipped, and now you are at work in edifying and building up the body of Christ so that we're not children. Look, by the way, notice what it says. And look at this illustration about children. It says here, with children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. You know what that says? It says that when we are built up as a church and we're building each other up, there is a stability to who we are. You know, we don't hear something and all of a sudden we're going 100 miles an hour that way. And then all of a sudden we're going 100 miles an hour this way. You know, and by the way, we've seen that even in this day and in these challenges that we've lived with, right? The church is not stable. You know, people are running all over and saying all kinds of things and doing all kinds of things. And that stability, they're acting like children, not mature believers on a mission from God, empowered by God's Spirit and gifted by His Son. That's what God wants us to be. So there's some real issues that God's trying to address here. And by the way, we're not done yet, are we? Think about that. Are we done as a church? Are we all finished? Are we where Christ wants us to be? No. And that's why we need everybody on the team to work and serve. So let's kind of move on. He continues in this passage and he says, by the way, here's how that happens. That we speak the truth to each other in love, that we may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. But that's a great Pauline sentence, a whole lot of words. What's Paul saying? He's saying that every single member of the body is performing his or her role so that the body is getting stronger. It's being held together in the way that God would want it to be. Now, everybody look up for a quick second. Does anybody got anything that hurts today? Does anybody not have something? Right? You know, as we all get older, right, things hurt. And I'll throw this out. I have I love to run and do different things. I had to take like 2.5 months off this summer because my hip was bad. I mean, I couldn't stop. So when I was in Florida, I started back up, and I still feel pretty good. But one thing that has not healed up, it's been for like 2 years, is my second toe on my left foot. And when I wear like dress shoes, it even hurts more. You know, and I'm not saying that for your sympathy, right? But you know what? I didn't think about my second toe at all until it started hurting. You know, I cut the nail every now and again. You know, I wash it off every day, and that's about the extent of my concern about my second toe. But I say this about the body of Christ. You know what? When that thing hurts, it changes everything. It changes my gait. It changes how my back sits. It changes everything. And in the body of Christ, the parts are so important. And if one of them is hurt or one of them is missing or one of them is broken or one of them is struggling, the body doesn't function the way it's supposed to be. And I'll throw this out. You know, my son Dan's going to be, he wants to be a physical therapist. And he just went back to school actually Friday. And he's in his third year. And he kind of looks at all the stuff, reads about that. It's just kind of beginning. Done a lot of stuff with biology. And this year he has anatomy, physiology. So I said to him, I said, you know, my hip is really hurting. And he says, it's not your hip. It's something else. And here's the point. Like in the body of Christ, right? If everybody's not doing their job, symptoms come out other places, but the issue is it's something else or someone else who's not contributing to the body, so the body's not as strong. It's not as able to function. And that's what Paul's trying to communicate to us. That's who we need to be. We need to be that kind of body. So God's gifted you, right? It's universal. You know, God's giving you that skill. It came through the Holy Spirit. And God wants you to use your gifts because the body needs your contribution. Like it says there, the body's knit together. It's joined together by what every joint supplies. And working by which every part does its share causes growth. So I just want to encourage you, when you're missing, we miss you. When the body's missing a part, when someone's not serving, when someone's not working, someone's not part of that, it matters. And God wants us to be that as we move forward. So, next. And again, here's our four things, right? People and purpose, right? Gifted people, purpose to do what? Equip so that they can edify, so that the body is whole and functional in accomplishing God's purpose. Here's the next thing. What's our attitude? And I'll throw this out. And I hear other pastors even say this. Sometimes the pastor doesn't want to come to church on Sunday. It's true. It's true. Believe it. It's true. I have felt that feeling. Praise God, he didn't let me feel it too long. Right? You know, we have to have an attitude. There's an aim for these goals, these gifts that God has for us. And I wrote them down, just jot it down. God wants us to have a spirit of sacrifice, a renewed and humble mind, and different gifts that are activated to build the body. And that attitude thing is huge. You know, like when you hire people, right? What do you hire? Yeah, I'd rather hire someone who doesn't know everything but has a great attitude. They'll get it done. They'll learn. They'll figure it out. They'll work through stuff. And God wants us to have that great attitude, a spirit of sacrifice, a renewed and humble mind, and different gifts. Let's take a look at this passage, Romans 12. And you guys all know this passage real well. And I'm not going to go in great detail here, but it says, I beseech you therefore, again, Paul begs us that by the mercies of God, brothers, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. So Paul's looking for a heart that says, you know what, God has saved me, God has called me, and I'm going to lay my life down as a sacrifice to build the body of Christ and carry out the work of God. So we're going to use our spiritual gifts, and I'll throw this out. We'll get frustrated at times using our gifts. And I'll throw, how many folks out there have taught kids before? Raise your hand. Maybe in Awana, Sunday school, junior church, you know, wherever, nursery. And how many times have you said to yourself, they're not even listening? By the way, as a preacher, I've said to myself, they're not even listening. There's a guy who wrote a book. It was called Waking the Dead. It was about preaching to the church. You know, so we have that feeling. But what God wants us to do is have the right attitude that we're going to lay ourselves down. And in the power of God, God's going to accomplish what we could never do. And God somehow is going to wake you up and wake me up when I'm listening. And he's going to get stuff in there, even though I'm not totally focused or fighting it at times. And I'm going to throw this out. I grew up in this church, and I had to sit next to my parents in church, and I had to behave myself and shut my mouth, and they gave me a tablet, and if I didn't do it, they hit me on the head. You know those days, right? But there's things that I wasn't even listening to that stuck. And it stuck when I went to Awana, and it stuck when I was in Christian Service Brigade, and it stuck when I was in Sunday school, and it stuck when I was in camp, and it stuck when I was in youth group, when I was more concerned about who was there than what was being said. That's how God works. And God wants us to understand. He wants us to have that attitude that, you know what? I can't figure it out. It looks crazy. It seems like it's impossible, but God's going to work through me laying down my life and my gifts. And that's what God wants me to do. And he says this phrase, and I'm not going to belabor this too much, but he just says, notice this, that us laying down our lives is a reasonable service. Jesus died on the cross for us. Is there anything that I sacrifice that compares to that? It's reasonable that I would serve God. It's reasonable that I have a good spirit, a good attitude, and I would lay my life down. You know, I'll use an example. Most ministries are one day a week. Jesus laid his life down permanently. You know, thank God he was resurrected, but man, the sacrifice is incredible. And it says that we need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Everybody look up. You know what? My mind and your mind need some renewal. And I'm going to throw this out. As a church, you know what? This past year and a half, we've been in survivor mode. It's time to get back in kingdom mission mode. Right? You know, that stuff's going to happen. The pandemic may come back some. But we got a job to do, and whether we're online, whether we're offline, whether we're in person, wherever we are, God called us to make disciples and to use our gifts somehow. And the job we have to do in the power of the Holy Spirit is just figure out how. And it's going to take all of our bodies and all of our hands and all of our minds and all of our gifts to grow the church and to be the church. And I want to encourage us, we need that renewed mind. And by the way, that renewed mind starts out with, you know what? God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above what we ask or think. No matter who says what, God's doing something, and he's been doing something all along, even through the pandemic. And we have to hear him. So I want to encourage us. And, you know, I would throw this out. I praise God for our team at FBC. You know, we did VBS two times, one outside, one inside. You know, we did stuff. We did children's ministry, you know, online. We did it here. We did it with masks on. We did it with mask off. You know, we did it in rooms. We did it outside. We did it somehow. And that, by the way, that's not to go how great we are, but that's to say how great God is and how God gives us the resources to do stuff and to use our gifts, even in crazy ways or weird ways that we never thought of before. So, you know, I encourage us that renewed mind. Then he says that, you know, that my proof what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then he goes into, look what he says next. He says, attitudinally, he says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. Be humble. So we are humble servants. Use our gifts. And I'm just going to segue forward. And he goes in, he lifts out, by the way, the various gifts. And notice how the attitude transcends us. He says, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So we being many are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. So our spiritual gifts, right, we got to use them. The attitude is and the aim is that we're going to go with a humble, submitted to God's spirit, sacrificial spirit, and we're going to do what God's called us to do, use our gifts. And that's just key change there in our attitude. And you can see it there. He says, if you prophesy, prophesy in proportion to your faith. If you minister as one who teaches in teaching, who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So the attitude thing is just transcending the operation of those gifts. So we go back real quick to our, and Sam, help me there. I'm a little stuck. Bam, there it is. Spiritual gifts, right? People and purpose. Second thing is attitude and aims. Third thing is what? Unity and diversity. And I'm going to kind of skip ahead. We kind of covered that a minute ago in 1 Corinthians 12. So to save time, I'm not going to go in that scripture. But notice we have diverse gifts. And everybody get this down. All necessary. There's no unnecessary gifts. There's no extraneous gifts. There's no gifts that are just cool and neat to have. They're all necessary. They're all necessary. Given by the Holy Spirit to each for the benefit of all. And the last thing we want to look at is our perspective and our pursuit. And I'm going to race ahead to that. Sam, help me race there, buddy. One more slide, and here we are. Check out 1 Peter. Everybody, if you kind of doze for a second, wake up because we're going to finish in a minute. But check this out. This is a conclusion that not Paul writes, Peter writes, because he's also in the power of the Holy Spirit. Look what he says. He says, but the end of all things is at hand. And if I've heard this once during this last 16 months, I've heard it literally 100 times. Everyone's going like, man, it feels like it's the end times. I'm hearing people say, yeah, Matthew 24. Seems like we're in it. You know, I'm hearing all these things. And you know what? This is the perspective, by the way, that has transcended the centuries since the church was founded, that Jesus could come imminently anytime. And when he comes to rescue us out, he also brings judgment. And Peter writes these words, the end of all things is at hand. And look what he says. So he says, be serious and be watchful in your prayers. And above all things, have a fervent love for one another. Be hospitable. And then look what it says next. As each one has received a gift, minister it to what? One another. And understand why. So here's the perspective. The end of all things is at hand. And we don't know if that's going to be another 1,000 years, 1,000 days, or 10 minutes. But what God said for us to do is, you know what? I want you to use your gifts. I want you to be loving. I want you to be serious about your prayer life. I want you to be hospitable to the brethren. And I want you to get out there and I want you to use your gift because you don't know, tomorrow may be our last day on earth. And I'll throw this out, humanly, tomorrow might be our last day on earth, you know, if it's just on a singular basis. We don't know. That's his command. And look what he says, as good stewards, and we're going to pick that up later on in the fall, of the many graces of God. Faithful stewards. So I want to leave you with 4 things to think about when it comes to spiritual gifts, right? People and purpose. God gave gifted people to do what? Equip so that they can edify, that the church might grow and be mature, not tossed about. Our attitude needs to be one of sacrifice with a renewed and a humbled mind, and our gifts are active as we serve each other. Our gifts are diverse. They're given by the Holy Spirit that the whole body can benefit from them. And then our perspective is, you know what? Christ is coming. His judgment is imminent. So I'm going to pray with soberness. I'm going to love like people like crazy in the body. And I'm going to serve with the gifts I have for the glory of God. Spiritual gifts. And let me say this. My purpose today wasn't to go through every spiritual gift and every possibility. My purpose was to say, you know what? That's where God wants us to be. Trying to discover our gifts and use them for the body of Christ. God wants us to be a church like that stands out. Stands out from the crowd, stands out from the situation, and is doing a work of God in the midst of a crazy world. And I'm just going to skip ahead. Here's the application, and we're done. And just so y'all understand, everybody do me a favor. If you're awake, raise your hand. Good. Keep that hand up for a second. How many of you guys have a spiritual gift? Everybody, right? Everybody got one. Everyone who's a believer in Christ. So here's the application. What are we going to do? And I challenge you this. You know, if you look in our bulletin, we're getting ready to get youth programs rolling. They only roll when there's people to make them work. Ask Jonathan. Ask Jill or Natalie. You know, ask Barbara. We're trying to get this stuff going. We can't do it by ourselves. So dedicate yourself to be a living sacrifice. Discover your gifts by engaging in ministry. I know people that have been saved 40, 50 years, and they say, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. You know what? If you get involved, just ask the people around you what your gift is. There's people in our congregation, you know, they're cooking for someone every week. They're having people over. Hospitality stands out as their gift. There's others that can teach like the Apostle Paul and like Jesus. It stands out. It'll be there. Discover your gifts by engaging in ministry. Develop your gifts through training and use them. You know, practice really does make perfect when you practice the right stuff. Develop your gifts. And I want to encourage you guys, use your gifts. And lastly, and I said this, and you can take it out again. Take out your bulletin, right? Look what it says. FBC's path forward. As we reopen, rethink, reinvent, and relaunch the Great Commission at FBC Willenboro, the following ministry opportunities are now available to our gifted congregation. And by the way, if you volunteer, in no way will we say we don't need you. Because we do. We need sound and video technicians. We need food pantry staff members. We need building and grounds people to do all kinds of projects, repairs, maintenance. We need teachers, youth workers, children's ministry workers. We need bus drivers. And by the way, those are the ones we're thinking about. We need everything else too that we can't even think about right now. And God's gifted each of us to be that person, to fill that hole. And I want to encourage you, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you're a member of First Baptist Church, would you reach out to me, to Al, to Jonathan, to Gordon, to any of our deacons, to Carol Bachman, and just say, you know what? I want to be on the team. And by the way, if you're not a member yet, one of the first things we're going to start this fall is our new members class again, so we can get people baptized, get the body moving again, begin to add people into this local assembly so we can grow. So I just want to encourage you and challenge you. I think that's God's message for us, right? We need to dedicate, discover, develop, use, and let's start now. Amen? Father God, I thank you for your word. I just want to pray that you would just work, Lord, in us today. Father, there's not one of us that can't say today, Lord, that that message is for someone else. It's really for each of us. And I pray, Lord, that you would work in our hearts, that you would just take that message, Lord, just to help us, Lord, to become your instruments of praise, your instruments of growth here at FBC. And Father, I just pray that we would be thinking about that and pursuing that, Lord, even this week as we plan for what you will do in the fall. Father God, I pray, Lord, that you would just make your plan clear to us, that we might serve you with faithfulness. And I pray these things in Jesus' name.